And welcome. Lovely to see you. Lovely to hear your voices. And Guy is going to help lead the service this morning with me. So thank you, Guy. And this morning it's Candlemas. So we celebrate the presentation of Jesus at the temple. First of all, Christ as a light, illumine and guide me. Christ as a shield, overshadow and cover me. Christ be under me. Christ be over me. Christ be beside me on left hand and on right. Christ as a light, illumine and guide me. Christ as a shield, overshadow and cover me. Christ before me, behind and about me. Christ this day, be within and around me. Christ as a light, guide me. Christ as a shield, cover me. Candlemas is a festival full of Christian symbolism, full of tradition and church history. It marks a turning point in three ways. Within the church, it is the moment we take a last look at Christmas and the baby Jesus before turning to look at the cross. In the Northern Hemisphere, it marks the turning from winter to spring, and it also marks the shift from darkness to light. It is called Candlemas because long ago, churches would bless all the candles which would be used throughout the church year. The Lord be with you and also with you. Jesus is the light of the world. Come, let us worship. Come, let us worship. Jesus is light in our lives. Come, let us worship. Come, let
Let
us
us
worship.
worship.
Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. To you be glory and praise forever. For you are our light and our salvation. And we, your children, wait for your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. In your Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, there has sprung up a light for the righteous and joyful gladness for those who are faithful. Like Simeon and Anna, we welcome him with joy. Fill us with your spirit, we pray, and make us into a living temple to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. Light reveals things that have been forgotten or lost or hidden. As we come into Jesus' presence, his light reminds us of all the good things we have forgotten to do and all the things we have hidden away. But if we say sorry, if we confess, we can walk in the light. As we sit here, we remember all the times we have ignored people in need. Lord, have mercy. Lord,
Lord,
have
have mercy.
mercy. For all the times we have deliberately made the wrong choices, Christ, have mercy.
Christ,
Christ, have
have mercy.
mercy. For the times we have forgotten your love, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have
Lord, have
mercy.
mercy.
May the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, shine among us and within us, turn us from darkness and bring us to your eternal light through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Guy's going to read our first reading for us.
The first reading is from Malachi, chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our psalm this morning is Psalm 24, and we begin by saying the refrain together. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. The earth is the Lord's and all that fills it, the compass of the world and all who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and set it firm upon the rivers of the deep. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, or who can rise up in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul to an idol, nor sworn an oath to a lie. They shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a just reward from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, of those who seek his face, O God of Jacob. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord who is mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. O Lord of hosts, purify our hearts, that the King of glory may come in, your Son, Jesus, our Redeemer. Guy's going to bring our second reading to us now.
Which is from Luke 2, beginning at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to that Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Although the circumstances have been difficult, it has been lovely to spend time with the family recently, especially the grandchildren. I love it when they are little, tiny, weeny babies, but I also love it when they get older and you can talk and discuss things, what they think, what they like, where they would like to go and what they would like to do. What would you like to be when you grow up, I ask, and the answers are always amazing. I've always believed that children up to about the age of 10 should feel that they are capable of doing anything and everything. The world is their oyster. They can dream dreams. They can be astronauts who leave for outer space from Withley. They can be intrepid explorers while still being back home for tea. Then, at around about 10, something happens and reality begins to kick in. I'm probably not going to be an astronaut because I don't like heights. I'm probably not going to be an intrepid explorer because I don't like spiders, etc., etc. And of course, as you get to my age and older, you realise that in all probability, you are never going to do the things you dreamt about in your youth unless you've done them already. I was never going to be a vicar. I was going to be a tightrope walker. And the dreams and wild imaginings start to vanish. And that's where this morning's Bible passage from Luke can speak to us, even those of us who are older than 50. So if I ask the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? What would you say? I think we can all reply that we might want to be a bit like Simeon and Anna, both of whom were elderly and both of whom were at the temple in Jerusalem when Jesus was brought there by his parents. Candlemas is an in-between time, a liminal space. It is a place of some uncertainty. And today we have reached Candlemas, which is an in-between time in the church's year. It's the point in between the light of Christmas and the solemn reflection of Lent. The candles we light today are a symbol of the light of Jesus shining in the world, a light that is for everyone, a light to lighten the Gentiles. For Jewish people, the presentation of a newly born child was a traditional rite of thanksgiving and dedication to God. There was nothing remarkable about Jesus being presented. He would have been one of many children dedicated to God in this way. But what is remarkable is that two temple prophets picked him out of the crowds and identified him as special and different. Like so many other examples in the New Testament, especially the birth narratives, we are told about an ordinary, unremarkable event which is transformed into something remarkable. God is in the ordinary things of life, and it is in the ordinary that God is to be found. Simeon and Anna had both been waiting, and they weren't the only ones, but their patience and hope was rewarded by an encounter with Jesus, the Messiah. I found myself imagining both Simeon and Anna this week. Did they wake up that morning knowing that something monumentous was about to happen? Or had they been waiting for so long that they had to encourage one another to keep on watching and waiting? Or hadn't they realized that they were both watching and waiting for the same thing, the sign that God had broken into the world? Luke's description of Simeon is so evocative. He seems to have the perfect life balance. Luke describes Simeon as being righteous and devout, and Joseph is also described as being righteous in the birth stories. Righteous is a wonderful word. It means someone whose way of thinking, feeling, and acting is entirely in line with the will of God. Oh, to be a righteous person. And to be devout describes someone who is serious about worshipping with others and praying and studying on their own. I get the feeling that Simeon loved being in the temple. He loved being in the presence of God. It wasn't a chore, it was a joy. I hope that church is a joy for us too. It's not supposed to be a chore, but something that we choose to do and that we delight in doing with one another. I think for some of us, it's so easy to find ourselves busy with church stuff that worship, prayer, and study is no longer enjoyable. And if that's the case, we need to take our example from Jesus. Jesus took himself away to spend time with his Father God, and we need to do the same. Spend time alone with Jesus. Rest in him. Lean on him. Luke tells us that Simeon was waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. In the King James Version of the Bible, it is described as the consolation of Israel. Consolation carried a sense of comfort, which is the same root word used about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Those who have been beaten down by life need sympathy and encouragement. The word comfort, as you probably know, comes from two Latin words meaning with and strength. That's the forte bit. There is a lovely section in the Bayeux Tapestry in which Bishop Ordo comforts the troops, and he is comforting them by prodding them up the backside with a spear. He is giving them strength, galvanizing them into action, encouraging them. Encouragement can give you the strength to keep going, and we all need encouragement. How can we encourage one another? How can we support one another in our faith? I think Simeon must have been bursting with encouragement that day in the temple. The moment for which he had longed had arrived. As Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple to dedicate his life to God, Simeon recognizes the baby as the one who will fulfill the law and serve God's purposes in all their entirety. He bursts out with a song of praise and worship. Lord, let your servant go in peace. Simeon had spent his whole life searching for signs of God's intervention and God's presence in human history. And there it was. Jesus, the Messiah, was in his arms. Simeon could see Jesus for himself. He had seen the salvation prepared in the sight of all people. Simeon rejoiced in the realization that Jesus, the Messiah, was the gift for the whole world, a light to reveal God to the nations. We have to see Jesus for ourselves. We have to hold Jesus in our arms. And then we have to let Jesus grow up to be a man. One of the reasons I think Christmas and Christmas services are popular is because the baby is so engaging. But the problem is that the baby has to grow up. So many of us want to keep Jesus in the manger. But for us to receive the benefits of all that Jesus came to do, we have to allow him to grow up and to be a man. We have to allow him to challenge us and to be our saviour. And we have to allow his spirit to transform us. Luke's description of Anna is equally engaging. She is also a person of deep devotion. She has clearly known sadness. And the implications of these verses is that she had known a long, long period of widowhood after a very short marriage. The tradition is that she was married at 14, so she might have known 63 years of being single. I wonder how she had spent those years. We don't know exactly, but we do know that she had opted to use her time developing her relationship with God, spending every possible waking moment in praise, prayer, and fasting. As I said when I was in church last week, the church relies on women like Anna. The name means gracious, and I could name so many gracious, faithful women who have devoted their time to God and the church. Anna was an old woman in a society where men thanked God that they had not been born women. She worshipped God in the temple, which had areas that women were not allowed to enter. But, hallelujah, Anna was allowed to hold the baby born to be the saviour of the world. Anna worshipped and worshipped and praised God for her whole life. And worship and praise enabled her to witness, to tell other people about God's love and his promised saviour. I don't think anyone is able to witness, to tell others about Jesus, if they grumble and complain and moan. What's attractive about that? Anna is full of gratitude and praise, and witnessing was a part of her. She loved God. She may have been elderly, but she was bubbling over with life in the spirit. She was authentic. Her love of God resonated with the way she lived her life. It would be tragic to dismiss Anna as no more than an old woman who got to hold a baby. She was a woman who dedicated her life to God, who met with Jesus and loved to tell people about him. She was full of the Holy Spirit. So, who do you want to be when you grow up? It's not too late. It's never too late. And if we don't know who we want to be, I think it is worth aspiring to be like Simeon and like Anna. Amen. We're going to say the creed together. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world. We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Guy's going to lead us in our prayers.
We pray for people we know whose lives are dark at the moment because of illness, anxiety, loneliness, or loss. The sick, Jack, Brenda, Olivia, Mary, Keith, Janice, Peter, Rosemary, Mary D, Mary B, John, Joy, Alex, Rupert, Mia, and Joan, and the family and friends of the recently departed, Mervyn Carey, Alan Bristow, Maureen Batstone, Joan Phillips, and Brenda Hiscox. We pray for people whose lives are dark through suffering, abuse, or neglect, or addiction. We pray for people who feel that they don't matter, who are not listened to because they are too old or too young. We pray for people whose lives are dark because of disappointment or failure. We pray for people in areas of the world where there is war or natural disaster. We pray that we may be lights in the dark corners. Help us, Lord, to accept and rejoice in your light in our lives. Amen. Lord of the Church, hear our prayer and make us one in heart and mind to serve you with joy forever.
Amen. And the collect for the day. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the nations and glory of Israel, make your home among us and present us pure and holy to your heavenly Father, your God and our God. Amen.
Amen.
Uniting our prayers with the whole company of heaven, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father
in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us
our
sins
as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory
are yours,
now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We say the Nunc Dimittis. Join me with the words in bold. A light to lighten the nations
and the glory of your people, Israel.
Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. A light to lighten the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to lighten the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. A light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. A light to lighten the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen.
Amen.
And we move to the conclusion. We stand near the place of new birth. Let us shine with the light of your love. We turn from the crib to the cross. Let us shine with the light of your love. We go to carry his light. Let us shine with the light of your love. Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, everybody, for your company this morning. Thank you, Guy. I think I got a bit carried away with the cutting and pasting there. The last bit. But never mind. Have a happy and blessed Candlemas.
Thank you, Steph.
Thanks,
I'll
Steph.
See you next week.
Yes, thank you.
Lots of love. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, Tilly.
Bye.
Bye,
Tilly.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Have a lovely week, everyone.
Yeah, great week, everybody. Bye-bye.